Welcome to the Fantasy Amateurs and Boom or Bust NRL Fantasy Podcast collaboration for 2024. We've joined forces to bring you the best fantasy content with a rotation of fantasy experts and fantasy nuggets, reviewing the week and answering your NRL fantasy questions.
Round three, Sunday night podcast. It's Mark and Austin here. And Austin, mate, I think it's convenient that last year you were a bit of a occasional person on a Sunday podcast, and you've left it until you're comfortably sitting inside the top 500 to make it a regular Sunday night appearance.
Yeah, just wanted to make sure I was giving correct advice all the time. So.
Yeah, no, good stuff. It's good to see you taking the correct advice as well. And where are you now? I see you sitting in, 318 pending updates?
Yeah, about 300 pending updates.
Yeah, nice. And you got the Zach Hosking score looped in there, which is really nice. That was one piece of really good correct advice that we gave our listeners. But we might tackle off on the Thursday night game first before we jump into that, mate. And obviously we started the round on fire, and it just seemed to get worse the longer that we went. So Sunday night, obviously, the Reece Walsh managers straight into the bin with the fourth minute face fracture on 2 points. Obviously Walsh is owned by over 30% of teams, which is a big kick in the you know where's, and he's, what is he, 4 to 6 weeks with that face fracture? Is that what they said?
Yeah, minimum 4 weeks it's looking like, and it's going to be come at a really bad time for a lot of managers, given that we've got Pappy out next week, Tuapiki's gone down as well, Keeney's not going to be there next week probably, so.
Mm. Yeah, and obviously the ready-made replacement in Tristan Saylor would be really good, except he's 550K as well. Obviously, for anyone who owns Walsh, it's a really easy straight swap. Walsh to Taylor and put the 100K in the bank or something like that in terms of availability. But yeah, no, it's a trade that I think the people that purchased Walsh weren't planning to make. And obviously that sucks for his managers. Also, Scott Sorensen with a pretty quiet 19 in 49 minutes. Was that just a early sub, or?
I'm not quite sure what happened there. I saw him kind of just come off and walk off, and I think Garner played the rest of his minutes. Mm. I don't know. Maybe it was something to do with that quote-unquote leg injury that he had a while ago, but other than that, no idea. Maybe it's just the blonde hair.
Yeah, no, that would make a lot of sense. So obviously, just keep an eye on Sorensen as his price drops with that 19 in the rolling average there. Ezra Mim, a little bit better, but still poor with 25. Jordan Rickey spent a decent chunk of the game in the centres, which didn't help his score with a 27. Let's keep an eye on him because he was sort of scoring pretty well last year, and he started very well. He got one good score, I think, and then, you know, obviously that 27 is not going to help. So and then your mate Taylor May, did he was that a binning or HIA that?
It was a HIA, but he suffered again because, again, who was it? When Walsh went down, it was the opposite side that benefited again. So Penrith just completely attacked that other side again.
Just ignored him. Yeah, right. Okay. Well, yeah, no, so obviously he first, that's a, you know, a good lesson for the people chasing points to not do that. Fletcher Baker played 71 minutes, which is pretty fun. Xavier Willison, he had a good score, and obviously with Haas out for a while, anyone that started with him, I mean, he's still in 32% of teams. You have to imagine a lot of that is autofills or people that aren't very high up, but they're getting a bit of luck. But moving into the people with good scores, I'm not going to go so far as to say Mitch Kenny with a 43 with a try is a good score, but
that's horrible. Probably
what? Liam Henry at 341K with the absence of James Fisher-Harris, knocking out that 49 in 43 minutes. And, I mean, I guess we haven't really seen that much on Fish, but he's looking like a really nice moneymaker for anyone who decided to take the risk on him at 2.7% owned.
Yeah, Fish is a week-to-week prospect, so I would say that if he's not back next week, Penrith will try to bring him back after the bye, which they have in 2 weeks, so it might kill Liam Henry is a bit of a hard one to jump on because his PPM is actually usually around 0.9, 0.95. That was an up game. So if he does get 43, 40 minutes, you're only probably looking at 38 points for two games. And then if Fish comes back, it's a bit tight.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where if you started with him, it's great, but it's too late to jump on now.
Yep.
Isaiah Yeo got a quote-unquote early shower, only playing 72 minutes in the middle for 58 points. He's great for anyone that decided to move on to him. We had a lot of people sort of suggesting that that's what they wanted to do with their Haas money. Obviously, we suggested holding out and having a look for some cheaper guys, which more or less that strategy seemed to work. Pat Carrigan was the other guy we recommended who got a 66 in 80 minutes, and he looks primed to be a purchase if anybody wants to go that way. But the big story here, Nathan Cleary, 75 in 72 minutes, no tries. He had 3 try assists, though, 5 goals. Not a big attacking workload, but he just really took that Broncos edge apart in the first half. I think he was on about 50 at halftime, mate. And the chin strategy, you only have to look at where Ryan's overall team, who bin the chins going, they're now in dead last in our 8-man amateurs league. So I think this is a kick in the nuts for everybody that decided not to go with Cleary as he bangs out an effortless 75.
Yeah, effortless it was. And there was some talk that Cleary came off because he had a hamstring injury. Penrith come out and said that's not true, so don't worry about that. Don't you dare move the C off of him to someone else next week. Yo looks like a really good buy just because I think Penrith are looking to offload the ball more. I think they're trying to create in the middle to make up for the lack of firepower they have out on the edges now. Mm-hmm. So keep an eye on that, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, they're really doing it tough there with Brian To'o and Taylan May and Isaac Tungo and Sunia Taruva and Jerome Luai, Nathan Cleary, Liam Martin, State of Origin, and Scott Sorensen. And they're really struggling in the outside. I can see why they need to try to compensate for dealing with that. So
he's no Karaz, so yeah.
Yeah. Oh mate, don't go too early, no, mate. Come on now. Just hold
hold the horses.
Yeah. Okay. Moving on to the Friday night games, we got to deal with first. Obviously, the Raiders went down to the Waz over in Christchurch, 18-10. Waz probably deserved to be better than 1-2, and probably the Raiders. I think it was a pretty, I'd call it valiant performance. It was a pretty good game all around. Definitely one of the better games of the weekend. Ethan Strange, obviously disappointing with a 12 in 80 minutes. 23 tackles, 9 misses isn't really what you want to see. He was running the ball a little bit. Is there any kick meters here? I see that he's got no kick meters, but I definitely saw him put a kick in. So
yeah, they're pretty bad with that. They did it last week to Flanagan too.
Yeah, I'm 100% sure. He put up like the second or third kick of the game. So I think maybe he's got a little update coming there. But regardless, people are panicking in the Discord about the 9 tackles. It's pretty clear that Strange isn't going to be a fantasy dominant. He's not a Moses Cleary Hines, you know, one of these type of guys. He is a Ezra Mamm, Cody Walker, Luke Metcalf. He's in that bracket. And yeah. You just really got to be patient with him. If he wasn't available at center, he'd be a lot less appealing. But as we've seen from the games today, even if you get an edge back rower at center, that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to put up a good score either.
Yeah, not at all. He was also an elbow away from a big score. So,
yep. Yeah, just be a little bit patient with him. Obviously, we're all going to be just trying to find players to play in our center / wing fullback next week with Pappenhausen on the bye, Walsh out, and a few other issues there. So obviously, Danny Levi, 52 minutes with a 25, no try this game. Did have his tackle count up, actually tackled for 29 tackles, but only scored 25. He's a really slow burn. If you missed out on a Galvin or someone like that, I think you can pull the ripcord and make that move to get him in if you don't have any other spot fires. But I'm going to take a guess and say that you do. Morgan Smithy's 33 in 66 minutes. That makes my heart smile a little bit, I have to say.
He's a sell.
Yeah, he is. His manager's just in the bin with the. He's just got absolutely zero attacking stats 3 weeks in a row now. He got 1 tackle bust there, but he's got 29 tackles and 85 meters and 66 minutes in the middle. It is really. It's Victor Radley without the attacking stats level stuff. It's relatively unimpressive. He's going to be one of those players that's going to be really, really good for footy, but I just don't rate it for fantasy. And I mean, Elliot Whitehead outscored him in 35 minutes, which is concerning for anyone that owns Smithies, I think, is the word.
Yeah, we kind of flagged that in the preseason about Smithies. He's just kind of like he's a bit of a plotter, just needs the 80 minutes to kind of get him into that low 40s, high 50s. But without that, he kind of sits around the low 40s and just had a down game here, but it's just not worth holding at all.
Yeah, no, definitely he's going to play. I think this is his role, that 65-ish minutes. Like, he is a big minute lock, and he's probably going to, like, jag a try occasionally and push up a 55 or something like that. And I'm assuming that you have bigger problems, but, I mean, that's like a Tupanua-level score there that Smithy's won. It's not really what you want to have in your – he really is. He scores like an outside back or like an edge player but plays in the middle. So you really need that – you know, you're going to have to get some luck, I assume. He's not an urgent sell. He's going to beat his break even by 5, and his price is probably going to stabilize there. But he's averaging 44 in like 74 minutes or something like that, which is pretty bad for a middle forward. So, moving through the list here, Nick Chotrich with a try for anyone that held on to him. They're going to be praying that Ricky likes what he saw from Chotrich and decides to miss Albert Hopewadi next week. For the cover with Tuapiki, who suffered the concussion, which we arrive at him now, getting 40 points in 46 minutes, was just looking absolutely dangerous. Got a try assist, got 5 tackle busts, 122 meters in 45 minutes. He was really, really, you know, heading towards a nice score before that concussion. He's going to make some money here and go up another, 25K or something like that. Pretty much a straight swap for Jaden Campbell plus some cash in the bank. I guess the question is also with Tuapiki, for those that don't have him, he's not going to be available next week, and then they're saying Chans is run 5, round 6. So he's a sell next week, I think, is probably the right way to think about it.
Yeah, he has to be a sell. It's an unfortunate case of basically what could have been. He was really building to a good game here, sent us off on a high, but with the HIA basically taking him out next week, in a week where you need him, you can't really afford to just hold him and hope that he gets one more week. It's not really worth it.
Yeah, exactly right. Just keep an eye on Hudson Young. He's, not really firing yet, but he's going to have some games in a row where he gets tries there and boosts him up, but he's still way too expensive to be buying. Luke Metcalf, he got another try, got that 40. He's goal kicking. He seems to be the best of the three bad options in that price bracket, although obviously Flano got a good score this week, which we'll touch on. Keep an eye on Tarpany's price dropping. He's getting the minutes, but not the points at the moment, but that'll sort of correct itself. RTS with a try and a 44. I think I steered somebody into going RTS and Galvin instead of Tommy Turbo and Finney this week, which I think ultimately lands
more
me
points.
As a 25% swing. So whoever that was on Instagram, feel free to send me. I was looking for it so I could send you some, like, the do eyes emoji on Instagram, but I couldn't find who I recommended it to. If that's you, come back to me. Zach Hosking, 48 and 60 minutes, no, significant attacking stats, just a lot of base there, 100 metres, 33 tackles, 3 tackle busts and an offload. Very tradesman-like here. The Raiders just completely shifted when he came onto the field as well. I think Ricky would have a lot of trouble justifying keeping Hosking out of the team for Whitehead at this point.
Yeah, that's true. It's just, unfortunately, if he does stay in the 60-minute role, he's definitely a sell. And we know Ricky, you can't really trust him to put him in an 80-minute role for the entire year.
Oh, no, definitely. But, I mean, his break-even's still going to be probably like 20 or so next week. So he's not an urgent sell by any stretch. I think you can probably just wait one more week if you need to. Obviously, he's going to be priced at around 750K, you can get some really nice players in that price bracket. So I won't begrudge you for moving on if you don't have any more spot fires. Jordan Rapana, 59, without a try, really, really busy, 8 tackle busts. He's got 200 metres, just sort of in everything. For anyone that started with Rapana on our recommendation, you are welcome. He's doing really, really well. Sean Johnson, 59, without the goal kicking is really impressive. Also Fogarty, a lazy 62, bangs it out. 1 goal in that 62. I know that our, it was a pretty consistent repeated message on our competitive podcast about kick meters not meaning anything, but I tell you what, that 750 kick meters and 24 points out of it sure feels really good for Fogarty owners.
Yeah, honestly, watching Fog and then watching Moses today, I'm honestly leaning towards taking Fog, even though they're going to be at the same price, just because the buy schedule's better. He seems a lot safer. Like, all he has in attacking stats, he's got one goal and a line break and two tackle breaks, and he still hit 60. So there's like, it's looking like Fogarty is going to be a mid 50s floor to like a high 60s ceiling, like SJ was last year.
Yeah, and I mean, he could sort of bang out if he just rips a try once these Raiders start playing some bad teams, he could do anything really, but he's going to be sort of 715 or so, and you know, a really nice trade from Hosking to Fogarty could be one to do and put 30 or 40k in the bank. And also Tohu, very tradesman, like 63 in 80 minutes, 50 tackles, 130 meters, very Tohu game. He is, you know, he's still a buy. He's only going to just shift his price a little bit. He's another one of those ones that's like a really nice Hosking to Tohu for no money invested sort of trade that you can make. So that's that one. And then, mate, the Trent Robinson revenge game on the amateurs is the other Friday night game. Obviously, I gave Robbo a bit of a towel up on the socials last week following the Roosters' poor performance, and he fought back with a 48-6 win over the Rabbitohs. There was a few pretty aggressive score lines, and this was one of them over the weekend. Weirdly, a Rabbitoh got the highest amount of fantasy points in this game, but just the having that Nat Butcher 80-minute edge, for my mind, just completely changed their combinations. Like, they made one sub through the edges and it was in the last 15 minutes. I think it just gave them a really good opportunity there to develop some, or like have some really strong combinations. Obviously, Sam Walker played really ball dominant. He got a 50 with two tries, which that was only obviously in 47 minutes. He got injured, and then they had with the concussion, they had basically had Sandon Smith out there with Connor Watson in the halves, and Cheese was kind of, you know, not really asked to do a huge amount with the with the big score line. Yeah, I mean, starting at the bottom, the Rabbitohs impact forwards, Tom Burgess, 22 points, Talis Duncan, 12 points, Oliver Vili, 9 points, Davi Miley, 6 points, Sean Kepi, 25. Not really what you want to see from your impact forwards. They just got absolutely steamrolled by the Roosters. Fantasy relevancy wise, Latrell Mitchell, 24 and 70 minutes. Was that a sin binning? Yep. That doesn't surprise me. I don't actually remember that, but
it's a professional flower on Teddy in the in goal.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I do. That actually is ringing a bell now. Yeah. So obviously he started really hot, despite the Rabbitohs not performing very well, but that's obviously going to put a stop on all of his price rises. It's exactly where you don't captain outside backs. Jack Whiten a bit slow to start. Nafahu White only played 22 minutes, but 29 points. Lindsay Collins comes off with a grade 2 hamstring injury.
Yeah.
They also had injury issues with maybe Terrell May.
It looked like he stopped. It looked really bad, but I'm guessing because this game was on Friday, we haven't heard anything more. It was probably just a cramp. Otherwise, we would have heard something more, which makes trades really interesting next week, because a lot of people are going to be using one trade on the wing of fullback. And with Collins going down 2 to 4 weeks, basically May was playing 50 minutes off the bench. You can basically knock him in for 60 minutes now. And at his PPM, he's basically a discount keeper must have at this point. So interesting decisions ahead with Galvin floating around too, if you don't have him yet.
Yeah, I'm actually half considering just rolling with 16 next week and getting Galvin and May in if I need to. My head-to-head team Tiffany's team has no such problems. We already has Galvin, so it's going to be really easy to just jump on a wing fullback there and May. But yeah, it's certainly he obviously will. Sticking with Mayer, he got a 50 and 52, which was a bit quiet for him, but there was not a lot of base stats in this game because it was a lot of standing around under the post. Tevita Tola with a 41 and 53 got the minutes again, but not the points. Tupanua, at any other time would be an urgent sell, but he's kind of just hovering around his break even, and he's a number, so he probably needs to be in a loop with a Salmon or something like that.
Yeah, he just can't put it together at the moment. If he gets attacking stats, he misses tackles, but then if he doesn't miss tackles, he doesn't get attacking stats.
Yeah, he probably just needs to rip in a try. I think he was the only Rooster who didn't get a try. Not literally, but yeah, he just needs to rip in a try and he'll get his price moving a little bit. But he's kind of not an urgent sell, but he's somebody you need to move on soon enough. Cameron Murray, 58 and 72 minutes. This Rabbitohs team's just really uninspiring. Keon Kolomatangi did his best to put him into it with 37 tackles, 12 tackle busts and 134 metres, but it was just a struggle for the Rabbitohs, and I don't really know what the solution is to their particular problem, because there just seems to be something not quite clicking there.
It really sounds like they're imploding from inside with everything that's coming out. Honestly, if you own any Rabbitohs players, you hold Murray, hold Totola, sell everything else, I think, and don't touch the rest. Yeah. Oh, except you hold Latrell as well, but yeah, it's not looking great. They could get towed up by the Bulldogs next week, honestly.
Yeah, that's going to be one thing. It's either going to be a get-right game for them or a big, big problem. So, yeah, no, definitely one to keep an eye on. Speaking of the Bulldogs, they gave the Titans a towel up, 32-0. Tino goes down with a season-ending ACL injury. I was really hoping that was just going to be a medial ligament injury just based on the way he sort of came down. But, yeah, they sound like they're pretty confident, if not extremely confident, that it's an ACL. So hurt for Queensland and a hurt for the Titans. You know, as somebody who's done the ACL rehab, it sucks big fat donkey whatevers. So don't recommend. But starting at the bottom, obviously, Sam Hughes, pretty disappointing. He's one that, you know, in any other week, you might be looking to move on, but I think you probably just need to let him sit there in your emergencies and sort of rot away there while you fix your other problems with, you know, your Tuipikis, Reece Walshes and you know, these types of guys. Stephen Crichton's price is like Coles down. The Titans really need to get Jaden Campbell and Dave Feeder back into this team, though.
Yeah, they just look so flat. Like, they got no idea what they're doing.
Yeah, more than usual. I mean, that's like their game plan, typically, but, yeah, even more than usual. Cleese Haas, obviously a poor score. Anyone that started with him and was, you know, sort of thinking about a cheeky cash make there with after 50, pretty disappointing sort of backup there. Tanner Boyd also really, really not good. I know there was a few people that started with him. He's going to lose money from the start of the season, and they can't be far away from making some changes, although it doesn't really seem like they've got anyone that's obviously better, excuse me, short of rolling like a Brimson 6, 4 and 7, Campbell 1 type, you know, deal. That seems to be like the... All right, that's the way I would go, but they don't really, you know, doesn't seem to be on the cards.
They really just need a solid halfback like a Jamal Fogarty type. They should try and sign him probably. Really.
Wonder what Ash Taylor's up to. That would almost be an improvement at these days.
Get Tyrone Roberts. Get the Ash Taylor Tyrone Roberts combo back.
Oh mate, that was the finals. That was good times for them. Shout out to Matty Burton, who's not owned by anybody aside from Nick, I think. Yeah, Nick.
Nobody fantasy relevant. So
keep an eye on Bo Furmore's price dropping. He got a 20-something first week and then a 36 here. So, you know, he was obviously great. Once the Titans work it out, he's going to be a really nice value option in the 500s, I think.
Yeah, I just clicked on his profile. That smile he's got going there, stuff of nightmares.
Yeah, he looks like I don't know what happened there. They've done him dirty. Jamin Salmon, 37, 41 minutes is pretty good. He'd normally play more minutes than that. I'm a bit surprised there with the reduced minutes, although I guess they probably didn't need him to play big minutes. But, you know, that's good to see his price moving in the right direction at least. Only the one missed tackle, no other demerits is good for him. He's sort of growing into that role. Hutchinson as well, 5 missed tackles in a 37. Pretty uninspiring performance from Hutchinson, but they won. So, you know, play on till next week, I guess.
Yeah, given all the other issues we have.
Yep. Josh Curran back to his normal minutes rotation, 45 minutes for 40 points. That was kind of where I was thinking he was going to be. So that doesn't surprise me. But obviously, his managers, anyone that bought him this week, going to be disappointed. I would suggest Kikau played the 80 minutes despite getting injured right at the start, which was kind of weird. Aaron Clark, big PPM performance, 49 and 33 minutes. It's going to be interesting for this pack because Jolliffe also 52 points in 45 minutes. To see who's the main beneficiary of the Tino injury. There is going to be somebody in this Titans side, forwards-wise, that's a buy. We don't know who it is yet. Who's your money on?
My money is going to be on Joful as well, because for some reason Dez just does not like Fotuaker from the minutes he's getting.
Where is he? Where is he? He's down here.
40 he's minutes. Down here, man. He's 40 minutes, and I think the week before that, 30 minutes? Like, I don't
know. Yeah. No, they have to. Fotuaker is a 60-minute player, and particularly now they have to roll him out. I don't know what's going on there. Maybe he's carrying some sort of injury. Jolliffe, I've always rated Jolliffe. He's just like a tradesman. You know, he's workman-like player. He's one of those guys that, like, I would have on my underrated, like, if you had told me to pick a team of underrated players, he would be one of the props for sure.
Yeah, you are our resident Jolliffe guy, so hopefully he does get the gig, because his PPM is really good, and he's corrected it this week with a 51B. We get to watch the week after and hopefully see what happens there and then jump on.
Oh, if he's starting next week, I'll be really keen. I'll take him over May, because it's an extra 100K. Yeah, love it. Love Jolliffe. He's my boy.
Big call.
Yeah, I had Preston anytime try scorer last 2 weeks. He didn't get one. He got one this week because I didn't have the bet on. But, mate.
Classic.
Jacob Carras.
Oh.
One try, one line break, two line break assists, 19 tackles, 11 tackle busts, four offloads to hand, three turnover tackles, 122 meters, one kick defusal, and a partridge in a pear tree on his way to a 96-point score. Really getting the price moving now, and just the stuff of dreams for Carras managers.
It's just an absolute gun. Like, it was funny because I was talking in the Discord and I said to a couple of people, Carras 90 would be real nice. And someone said, yeah, in your dreams. And I kind of said, he actually has two 90s already, so it's in his range of outcomes.
100%.
And then, he just showed us why we picked him. So thanks, now he's averaging 52. And if you traded to any other center, kind of got egg on your face now. That's why you don't trade the backs, chase the points.
Yeah, and also, just quietly, if the Bulldogs get it together, Reed Marnie with a 67 here, 45 tackles, only three misses, 200 kick meters. If the Bulldogs can right the ship here in the forwards, he is a really interesting at the price under 600K. Now,
very much so.
Did you know, Austin, that there is only one undefeated team in the NRL after three rounds?
Yeah, and it's...
Do you know who that is?
I think it's who is it? It's the team they got the yellow shirt in the Cowboys. That's who. That's it.
Yeah, that's the Cowboys.
The million-dollar man that plays 20 minutes.
My team, and it's my dream to see him at the top. I know the team song better than the West Tigers know their team song, mate. I'm on fire. It's a
new one, apparently, mate.
Yeah. they need it. Same with the Cowboys. Obviously, put one try on, surrendered 14 points straight, and I was having a brain aneurysm on my back patio. My wife walked out onto the patio, and I was like, it is not safe to be out here at the moment. She's like, why? And I just like pointed at the screen, and she looked up, and she's like, oh. Basically, as soon as she walked onto the patio, the tide turned for the Cowboys. So I'd like to thank Tiffany for riding the ship. Cowboys get up 46-24 in one of the most stressful periods of 20 minutes of my life. I was a very unhappy man at one point there, but they got it done. Jake Granville. 5 in 25 minutes, who was the only person who scored less points than Tumalolo, which you alluded to earlier, who got a 6 in 21 minutes, got subbed off and never came back.
Yeah, they're paying him about 21K a minute, so I guess that's good bang for your buck almost.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, at the end of the day, it's that, like, we know that he's got the degenerative knee condition, And, like, they obviously didn't need to bring him back in this one. When you got superstars like Jack Kochevsky, Jack Granville, and and Sam McIntyre coming off the bench, you don't need to bring your million-dollar man on to mop the floor with the Dragons. You can just, you know, beat him up with your all-star cast. That sounds like a Queensland State of Origin bench right there, Jake Granville, Sam McIntyre, and Jack Kochevsky, and we'd still get up. But, in all seriousness, I was obviously stressing out pretty big when the Fine Fuyaki, when he went off with the HIA. I actually, and there was a bit of science to this because I saw him sort of turn, and as he was falling, he braced himself. So that's one of the big things with their protocols, where, like, if they just go down like a sack of potatoes and they don't brace themselves, it's basically like that's lights out, you're gone, you're not coming back. But the fact that he actually, like, put his forearm down and like stopped the fall being as strong, that says like he was with it the whole time. And he actually looked like, despite, you know, hitting what's basically the equivalent of a cinder block in Blake Laurie's head, he seemed all right. So yeah, it was good to see him come back and put that try on. And you know, I was panicking between him and Galvin all week, and it turns out the answer was just yes. Obviously, yeah. prefer the Galvin, but you know, I'll take a 40 from a guy at that price every day in my starters. He scored better than plenty of other guys that I had. Now moving through this score, Tyrell Sloan back to earth with a 29 in 80 minutes with a try. Raymond Faitala Mariner played the 80 and got a 32, which is kind of not great. They really took advantage of that edge with Faitala Mariner and Bird and Lomax on it. The Cowboys, they're just too much speed out there with Holmes, Talangi, and Dearden and Fine Fuyaki running the decoys for most of the time, aside from that one try. But I mean, fantasy-wise, it sort of looks pretty uneventful until you get to Fine Fuyaki and Cotter on 40. There's not a lot of base stats in this game. Cotter will have better days. As you can see, he still played 65 minutes, even in a thrashing, which is great signs for anyone that's got him.
Yeah,
you go.
So, yeah, I guess we kind of benefit there from the Tomalolo managing. So whenever Tomalolo gets managed, they kind of just give some of those minutes to bench guy plus Cotter. And, yeah, no need to panic on Cotto. He's kind of showing us the floor here, which is 40. And then, the high is what we saw last week, which was like 60s in base. And he is a noted dynamic player, so he can score tries, break the line. So should be a good keeper throughout the year.
Yeah, I mean, he's averaging 49, which, if that's your biggest problem at the moment, then, Yeah, exactly. Kyle Flanagan got a 46 with a try, but, you know, he was a little bit more involved. He laid on a couple of got two line breaks, got a try. He's sort of on the ball a little bit more just eye test-wise. I'm obviously not rushing out to buy him, but, you know, he gets his price moving for those that are holding.
Yeah, he does, which is good because, you know, not a lot of the good options. Like, there was Hutchinson and Metcalf, and none of them are doing well. So Flanagan's coming up to be the best of them at the moment, given he's been able to slice through for a couple of tries, but, yeah, not rushing out to buy at all.
Yep. Also, I see Luciano with a 46, despite not really doing a whole lot. That's probably good signs. Who dropped out of this game? There was somebody.
Sue was injured. Sua, 2-3 weeks. But Leilua was starting regardless. I think that pushed Fratello Mariner into the team.
I was just trying to work out the rotations because DeBellin also played 60 minutes and both edges played 80.
Yeah,
I was just trying to work out what happened there because Ivan Huth also played 55. Viliami Fita only played 11 minutes, which helps because you replace that 11 with an 80-minute back rower and shuffle everybody down. It's going to make a difference.
Yeah, BMM only played 26 minutes too. I think they just had a really weak bench, relied on their starters.
Yep. Reece Robson, 54. He is a like low to mid 50s weapon now. Yeah, he's 3 try assists in this, but obviously not a lot of base stats. He only had to make 35 tackles. He was running a lot. The Cowboys are looking really, really nice. He's going to get over for a meat pie soon and get his price really moving in the right direction. Zach Lomax doing good things for our try scoring bet that we've got on with 2 tries and 4 goals, really sort of helping the boys out here. And Valentine Holmes, obviously, ripping them to shreds with the 88-point game, 7 tackle busts, 7 goals, a try, a couple of line breaks, but, you know, not a huge amount of owners at 5.8%.
No, had a really good bounce-back game to be the highest averaging centre in the comp at the moment.
Yep. Now, moving on to the other shellacking of the weekend, where the Tigers just absolutely gave the Sharks the business. And I can't believe, if you went back in time like 72 hours and someone said that to you, you would be just going like, you're having a laugh, aren't you? I know there was a lot of people panicking about feeling like they needed to buy Nico Hines this week with the Payne Haas money because of this game specifically and trying to put the C on him instead of Cleary. There was some bin the chin chat on some podcasts, you know, selling Cleary to get Hines. I think there was one idea that wasn't strongly pushed, but it was definitely echoed or at least uttered into the universe. Obviously, the Sharks were very unlucky here. They lost Royce Hunt. Well, depending on how you feel about Royce Hunt, maybe not that unlucky. But he hurt his calf warming up, which is very on brand for Royce Hunt, I think. Adele Finucan got his head split open twice, only played 22 minutes. They also lost Toby Rudolph to an ankle injury. As a result, Cameron McInnes played 63 minutes, which was great. Tom Hazelton, 57 minutes. And also Jack Williams obviously spent the bulk of the time out on that edge before Burns came on and pushed him into the middle for about 15 minutes, which was all the minutes that McInnes didn't play. I was really panicking. We were going to have an 80-minute Williams there and McInnes was going to still only play like the 50 minutes and then he just went off and came straight back on, which was great. But, mate, I guess starting at the bottom, don't go anywhere near this for Tape. He's got 2 team scores in the centres. Doesn't matter how cheap he is if he's not going anywhere, the price-wise. Don't chase boys with Teague Wilton. Obviously, the Sharks got one more game and then they got the bye, so yeah, take it. Any Sharks players here with a grain of salt. Yeah. John Bateman, we need to keep on the watch list. He also had another poor score. That's 2 bad scores in a row. He's going to get his price moving in the wrong direction, but he's going to be a target at some point for us. Mate, Aiden Caesar.
Oh, yeah, we're having to come to Jesus, are we?
Now, in the preseason, we talked about Aiden Caesar as potentially being an option for ball dominant, lots of kicking, potentially doing the goal kicking. Obviously, he gave it up. Appy gave it up at some point through the year, but he only got 4 points in goal kicking, which would have made him a 41 anyway. He's going to be in the mid-400s, and he kicked for 528 meters to Galvin's 196. Is this a random spike game, do you think, for Caesar, or do we need to pay more attention to him?
I don't think it's a spike game, but I do, like, he's too mid-range. Like, we've got Galvin, and most people will be picking up Moses or Fogarty next week, so he's in a bit of no man's land where he might average 40, 45, but he's already priced at 450, so it's not enough value or upside there to go chasing around that, I don't think.
No. I just want to bring it up. Just keep an eye. Maybe we'll just watch one more week. Keep an eye on it, because if he does another like big ball dominant game, then maybe we'll see what happens there. Isaiah Papali'i got that first try of the year, which is really good for my top team try scorer bet that I got on. Seyfarth with a 50 in 31 minutes is a nice reward for anyone that was forced into holding him.
Yeah, or playing him.
Yeah, well, that too. But mate, obviously the big stories here fantasy wise is Cameron McInnes with the 51 gets his price rotated and moving around in the right direction. And Nico Hines with a 50 is fine, but he's going to drop 30K or something like that and be in the 930s. He did a decent amount of the kicking. Where's Trindle? 252. See, this is the problem here. See, like Trindle, 252 kick meters. Like, that is just a massive, like, that's 8 points of kicking. Like, Moylan would have done, like, 2 points of kicking in that game. Like, it's a 6. It turns him from a 50 to a 56, which is not great still, but It's just more about the fact that, like, you know, those scores do get eroded by, you know, and that's what we spoke about. We talked about him going from a 72-73 to a 68-70. Like, it's, you know, it's not a big jump, but it's just enough to make it sort of not good. And then the 6 missed tackles and 4 errors don't help either.
Yeah, it's a lot to what we spoke about in the preseason, that even Trindle just being there also has just like a non-stat effect on Hines, where it's just he has another half partner that it's basically the difference between like a Fogarty Strange combo and then a Hines Trindle combo. It just takes away from him too much because he's a bit more of a competent half.
Yeah, nah, exactly right. Now, mate, speaking of competent halves, Lachlan Galvin, 60 points, no tries. Only kicked for 196 metres. He ran for 85 metres, 3 offloads to hand, 22 tackles, 2 line break assists, 1 try assist, 22 tackles. Just really busy, you know, sort of a pretty balanced performance. And I think the Tigers are going to slowly give him more and more. He's obviously going to jump his price up to 330K or something like that, but his break even is just going to be Antarctic temperature level low, and he's still a buy next week, I think.
I think he's going to be closer than Must Grab Cheapy. I think he'll be he'll probably be a cheapy turns keeper, to be honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I mean, there's a long way between that and that, but, you know, at least 550 to 600, there's still a good 200K minimum. And obviously, if he starts stealing more and more kick meters, who knows? He's a big frame. If he can get that, you know, 80 to 100 meters and 20 tackles a game, it's a really nice base to be starting from. And, you know, he's got, you know, you can just eye test wise, you can tell he's just oozing talent.
He's just looking really solid. Hasn't missed a tackle in his NRL career yet. So,
yeah.
He's doing well. Great. Got an offload in him. That's what you want to see.
Yep, absolutely. Now, last one here I want to touch on is Api Korosau. 74 points in 66 minutes, 4 goals, 2 try assists, 40 tackles or 42 tackles, run meters, kick meters, offloads, tackle busts. Line break assists, just everywhere. Looks great. Obviously went off with what I can only assume was a cramp. He's going to be 675 and still definitely a buy at the price, particularly if the Tigers are going to keep going the way they are.
Yeah, apparently he had gastro before the game. So to go from gastro to a 74-point game in 66 minutes is nutty. The people that are stuck with Coro through the bye, yeah, you've been rewarded, and he looks like he's going to be a cut price keeper.
Yeah, he's averaging 66 so far across the 2 games. You know, he did get a try in the first game, but didn't get a try in this one and banged out a 74, which is great. And the Tigers did look a lot better. So, mate, now moving on to this, I don't know if you've seen the chat, but we just got a message through from the boys. Now, obviously, they haven't finished doing the updating and stuff on here, but they did put the updates in for the Eels and Manly game. And Sean Lane, who was already just having an absolute dumpster fire score, sub 30, got an 11-point down date. So he actually got 18 points in 80 minutes.
What?
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? I know he was definitely invisible, but not that invisible.
Yeah, see, I sort of saw him on the ball a bit. So Lussick got an 8-point down date and Lane got an 11-point down date. I can only imagine that is actually just the stats guys have made some mistakes somewhere and it's like an error. I definitely saw him miss a few, but they've got him down for 26 tackles, 6 missed tackles, which just doesn't kind of seem to be right for me. Like, I know... Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see what happens. He does have the odd low game in him, but that's just obviously really, really bad. So we'll have to keep an eye on that. But this game was just an absolute dumpster fire in general for fantasy. Outside of Moses, nobody really scored particularly well. So Lussick gets a 28. We got just going through Pennacini with a 30 with a try, which is really, really poor for his standards. Moses got the 67. With a try, looked really, really sharp. Obviously, Lane really disappointing. Hopgood, another sub 50 score, which is really not what you were hoping for if you started with him. Tommy Turbo, 46 with a try. Also, he's your man. You know, I know he was cooking in the first half and then just sort of stopped.
Well, he actually had a massive play through the middle. He had about a 20-point play stripped off of him from a very well acted. What is it? Obstruction that wasn't really an obstruction. So
it was a forward pass anyway.
Yeah, it was a forward pass, but yeah, Yeah. I mean, yeah, he was this close. He's very, like, he's getting close to a boom game. It's just good to see the base at the moment, but just can't get it going at the moment.
Yeah. Well, I guess the big thing for him is, although he hasn't sort of popped off, he's averaging 47 without sort of, he hasn't sort of really shown you a floor yet, which is really, really nice. Somebody who is showing their floor at the moment is Daly Cherry Evans. He's updated to a 31 based on this, but I'm just trying to see Brooksy. Brooksy's still in a little bit of kicking, but only 140 meters here. But, you know, this was a game that was pretty open, and he only made 10 tackles. Man, some of these tackle counts are really bad.
This game was really weird.
Yeah, just a lot of stuff through the outside backs. It was kind of just like a, you know, everybody scored bad, just pretend it doesn't exist and move on type of game.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, which is not what you want to do, but yeah.
I mean, how does Burbo play 61 minutes on the edge and only make 16 tackles? Like, it's just, yeah. It's a bit of an outlier game, especially with Lusick. I bought Lusick. I know a lot of people did. I wouldn't panic. Lusick has these games, and this game wasn't really conducive to fantasy, given we only have one score over 50 anyway. So don't read into it.
Yep. Yeah, no, exactly right. No, even some random, like, outside backs with tries didn't get there. So Ruben Garrick with a try and four goals. Only 44. So, yeah, no, just move on, I think. Last game of the round, I assume the updates aren't here yet for this one. The Knights just hang on against the Melbourne Storm, who try to do their trick two games in a row where they scored, you know, a couple of times in the last few minutes to upset. But, no, alas, they didn't get the second set of points. So the Knights upset them 14-12. Wishart is the top scorer in this one. Now, what happened to Pezzett? Did he get injured? I was cooking dinner and I sort of missed it. No, it says he played 80 minutes. Okay. No, I wasn't expecting him to be so on the ball. I sort of didn't really notice Pezzett. He got 530 kick meters, so he had over half his scoring kicking, but
he's doing a lot of kicking, yeah.
I kind of expected him to be a little bit more involved in this one, to be honest.
Yeah, well, I guess, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, just having a look here. This is kind of not a great game either. Daniel Saifidi, really poor. Jaden Brayley, he's going to start really, really slow and start dropping some cash. Bradman Best, another bad game. He's averaging 25 across the opening three rounds. He's going to drop into the 400 soon. He's a big watch list now, for once the Knights click. Adam Elliott, 29 in 65 minutes. What's going on there?
A bit back down to earth. He hurt his ankle, but then he was fine. But I think, yeah, he just, like, Elliott has these low games in him, but if he's playing 65 minutes, he's probably a hold. But he does have these floor games where he just can't get anything right.
Oh, you're definitely holding him if you own him. But, yeah, just that 65 minutes. I was expecting in a 65-minute performance he would get more. Sean Bloor, bit of a slow start. That's probably good for him in terms of us potentially wanting to buy him. He matches his break-even pending updates. Jack Cogger, a bit of a slow start as well. Gamble kicked more than Cogger did, which I'm a little bit surprised about, and I guess the question then becomes, maybe is Gamble somebody that we need to have a look at because he is quite busy. 34 tackles is great. And 300 kick meters and 70 run meters. He's one of those guys at Brisbane. He did actually have a little bit of a stretch where he was a pretty good scorer. But, the other one, I guess, here is Kalen Ponga versus Ryan Pappenhausen. Ponga started really hot as well. I think he was on, was he on 40-something?
It was 40 and 40 at halftime. I was, as a non-owner, kind of hiding behind the couch. And then, it was like 5 minutes left and he had 45 points. So kind of turned the alarm off, went back and sat on the couch.
Yeah, no, he's missed his break even by about 20. So he's going to drop down to sort of 680. He's a raging buy whenever you feel like it now. Although he's got a really good opportunity to displace Walsh from the State of Origin team in the next 6 weeks. But you have to think if he plays good enough to do that, he's also going to be somebody that you're going to be happy to own in fantasy as well. Once the Knights click and he starts banging out some tries, he's going to be a really good scorer with this, the baseline of involvement just constantly on the ball. Pappenhausen, 56, is really, really nice without goal kicking. Gets a try, 8 tackle busts. I think, if anyone said to you, what's Austin, if I said to you in the preseason, what's your absolute best case scenario for how you see Pappenhausen's average over the first three rounds, would you have said 52 or would that have been even higher?
Without goal kicking, I would have thought mid 40s was probably best. Mm. But yeah, this is above and beyond what we kind of thought without the goal kicking. But
yeah.
Yeah. Pappy's just being Pappy.
Yeah, no, he's doing great. He's finding ways to inject himself, which is awesome. That's exactly what you want to see from him. And Harry Grant, 58 with 56 tackles, 5 misses, about 70 metres, nothing special. Kai Pierce-Paul plays the 80 minutes, gets a 61. That is definitely something to keep an eye on because Frizzell was the one who got subbed off, not Pierce-Paul.
Yeah. And that's kind of a theme. He got subbed off the week before too. So I think they're looking to probably limit Frizzell's minutes a bit more and let Pierce-Paul play the 80-minute role.
Mm. I mean, is he somebody that we need to be looking closer at, Pierce-Paul, with the 39 tackles, 4 tackle busts, 140 metres, 2 offloads? He's obviously got a fantasy-relevant frame, I guess would say is the right. Like he's quite a big guy and, you know, lanky. He's got, you know, arms and legs sort of floating around everywhere. He's going to be hard to put down. So I'm just wanting to go and have a bit of a sneaky peek at the Knights draw
They have a really good draw coming up. I think they've got the Wars and then some really soft month after that.
Yeah, well, they play the Wars and then they go Dragons, Roosters, which is not ideal, but it's at home, and then Bulldogs, Dolphins, Wars again, West Tigers, Titans into the bye. So yeah, that is pretty nice. We definitely need it. We'll cover off on him again a little bit closer on Tuesday. I think Pierce-Paul, we've got, as I say, we've got a few guys floating around there with May, Galvin. Although obviously there's a, you know, about 100K price gap between Pierce-Paul and May, or at least sort of 70. So yeah, one to keep an eye on, but also as well, there's lots of people with lots of edges and struggling for mids as well. Just before we tuck in, I managed to actually get a 811 this week. What did you get? 850 something, was it?
865 is what I ended up on, but with the down dates, probably if the down dates are real, go down to 850.
Yeah, and I'm going to drop into the 790 with that.
You're a lane owner, aren't you?
Unfortunately, yeah. What are you Lane and Lussett.
What are you doing with him? He's looking back into pumpkin areas, isn't he?
No, he's always actually been good when he plays the 80 minutes. He's obviously just a bit slow and, you know, we're just going to have to keep an eye on it. I don't think I can do anything about it at the moment.
You got Tigers next week anyway. So.
Yeah, that's they normally have those Good Friday games, the Easter Monday game, I think, should say. It should be interesting. Just going to have to work out who I'm actually starting. Obviously, I have Pappenhausen out and Tuopiki out. So I've got Strange and Burbo that I don't want to start, but I'm going to have to start them. I'll have Karaz and one of Kotrick or Chris. I'm really hoping I have both of those guys available to me next week. And Albert Hopewadi is the one that's dropped, but we'll see what happens there. Otherwise, I'm gonna need a wing fullback to cover either Chris or Kotrick. So I assume that means Tuopiki is getting traded to a wing fullback of some description. Depending on what happens with Hosking, I've got him there, or Tupanua, who I probably need to move one of them on to a May or a, you know, Pierce-Paul or someone like that. So I'll have to work that out.
I'm kind of hoping Talia comes back next week, then I don't have to make a trade for a winger fullback.
Vega was pretty busy in this game. I know nobody scored really well for fantasy, but he seemed like he was kind of in and around the action a bit. So, yeah, keep an eye on that. It wouldn't be fantasy without some dumpster fires. So just keep plugging away. You know, obviously I've gone from 42,000 rank to 21,000 rank to 8,000 rank. So just keep working your way up. I know you said you started at 40,000 or something like that.
45K, yeah.
Now at 300, so yeah, just keep plugging away if you're listening along. And any closing thoughts or parting advice for the listeners, Osto?
Just stay fluent. Don't get locked into your trades like tonight or Monday. As soon as it locks out, make sure you go over team lists and do a nice thorough look. Make sure you don't miss anything. Don't get don't get locked into your trades.
Yeah, I actually don't do anything with my team. I reorganize it to like put players in the right spots or whatever. But I actually don't make any trades at all until after team lists. I have a like a policy around that. Like I never actually execute a trade until after the team lists.
That's always a good idea.
Yeah, if you feel desperate to go and do that, go and make some trades in Supercoach or something like that. That's what I do. I have a Supercoach team, and first thing Monday morning when it unlocks, I go and make my Supercoach trades, and then I like forget about it until Thursday, and then I panic and remember and have to go back and fix them.
Yeah.
This week I bought Joe Chan, and I have to say one of the features that Supercoach has better than Fantasy, and there's not many of them, but one of the ones that they have is if you do a trade, you can just go to update trade. So rather than having to like reverse your trade and redo it, you can just change the player that you're trading in or trading out, but like leave the trade in place. I had one where I traded out somebody, I can't remember who it was, maybe Tupanua or someone like that, who'd already played when I found out that Joe Chan was out, because I was bringing him in because his break even was like negative 30 or something like that. And it's like, you have to bring him at that point. And then when he got ruled out, I just like went and like updated my trade and like swapped that trade to bring in a different guy. But even though Tupanua had locked, I could still make that move.
Yeah.
So I think that's fantasy should bring that in. Because particularly even with the smaller squad sizes, like you'd think it would be even more critical with this that you'd be able to do something like that than it is in Supercoach. But yeah, that's probably one of the only things I like better.
Yeah, no, that's try bingo over there if you want to go. I like that. If you want to release some stress with some trades there, I think you get enough trades to make two trades every round over there. Yeah, so it's
pretty much that. Plus, you get like five boost trades, which I always use. Yes. Like in the first six or seven rounds, are all gone.
And the prices don't move for 3 weeks. Like it's just really fantasy on easy mode. Like compared to what we do here.
100%. Yeah, I'll probably get dirty saying that. The Supercoach card will be after you. No, I do the same thing. I go over there and trade, just get it all out. All right, mate. That'll do us for today, I think. Hope you enjoyed listening in, listeners, and hope you scored well this week, moving up the ranks. I'm just looking to see if there's any names I recognize up the top here. Poor one of my good friends of the show, Matt Cardy, he was in fourth and had Reece Walsh. Poor bloke. So yeah, he copped a pretty severe beat down in the Hurt Locker against me this week and lost a lot of ranks. So yeah, it's easy. Just, you know, at this point in the year, one thing like that, Osto, I had a bit of a look at the difference in our, you know, points or whatever, like you're only 116 points in front of me, which makes up that 7,500 ranks or something like that. So that's, you know, one captaincy option and a Reece Walsh, and you can make up, 70, 80, 100 points. So,
yep, really tight to start off.
Yep, cool. All right, no worries. Thanks for joining us. We will see you on Tuesday to go through the team list and answer your questions on Wednesday before the long weekend. Until next time.
Love you guys.
Thanks for listening today, and I hope you enjoyed our collaboration. Please make sure to subscribe to the podcast and check out Facebook pages for more info.